Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You got to go.
Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. Good evening, all of the audience out there and everyone under the sound of my voice. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bring you glad tidings and great joy. Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hosanna, hosanna, hosanna. Hallelujah. This is April the 2nd, 2018, Monday in Houston, Texas, I am. This is Reverend Arroyo Ruth Prince's Love. And that Reverend is my first name. Everybody wants to look over it, but it's my name. And the Bible says in Psalms 111, verse 9, I think it is. Holy and Reverend is my name. Reverend is one of God's names. But we soon forget. We forget the Reverend. We forget the Jah. We forget the I Am. We do think about the Jehovah Nisi, the Jehovah El Shaddai, the Jehovah Rapha, the Jehovah Lord God Almighty. We remember some of those, but we forget some of the ones that's not talked about. And the reason my name is that, because the word of God over and over and over and over and over again says, my people shall be called by my name. Not their name, but his name. And so, if anyone wanted to get mad at me because Reverend is my first name, not only my title, but and a royal Ruth Prince's Love is from 2 Peter 2:9. The Bible says we are royal priests, been made royal priests by the living God, who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who have been born again. So I just wanted to make sure you understand what my name is, because everybody gets it all messed up and it's all confused. I had it changed in court, legal, got all my papers and everything, and I was my own lawyer, my own attorney. However, I didn't plan on Reverend being my first name, but the Lord saw fit that it should be my first name. And so I hope to live up to the name and all the characteristics of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I realize that we're not walking in the authority that the Holy Spirit has indwelled us with. In Genesis, when the Lord made Adam and Eve and gave them authority, I think it's Genesis chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Check me out. Don't believe everything I say or anyone say. Study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And above all of that, get an understanding. Because a lot of Christians are wandering around in the wilderness and don't have an understanding of the word. Some of us get all upset because we think somebody's trying to do away with the Ten Commandments, and we're trying to do away with the Old Testament, and we're trying to just make the New Testament's only word. And it's all confusing to people who say they've been in Christ a long time. But I want you to get to know Christ for yourself. My desire, my hunger, my thirst, my love, my craving is for you to know God. This is an example for anyone who might think I'm saying this here blatantly. If I was to say God doesn't love you, you should know by the Holy Ghost that's in you. That sister just lied. And I don't understand why people don't understand that each and every one of us that has been born again have the Holy Spirit in us. And regardless of whether you think it or not or believe it or not, you get that unction that lets you know when somebody's lying. And you don't have to go along to get along with a lie. There are people who don't believe in debating the word or disputing the word. I would just ask you, go to your concordance and look up dispute and see how many times it's in there. And then forget the Old Testament, how many times they disputed in the Old Testament. Just concentrate on the New Testament. They disputed daily, because it was always somebody coming up to tell them and compare them with the Old Testament. So don't let these fine little sweet cliches influence you. Stand for the truth, but know the truth. Know the truth. Know the Word of God. Don't go by anybody's opinion. If they ain't got verse, book, and chapter, and then even after you know the verse, book, and chapter, you need to know the context of who is talking to and who is talking for, you know? Because there's an old joke, it's in the scriptures a couple times, it says, go and do likewise. You know, that could lead you into doing a lot of different things. Go do likewise. But however, if you study and know the character of God, I haven't given you all my stats. I've been to many schools, four Bible schools, and I have been to six regular colleges. So, but I count all of that as D-U-N-G, as the Word of God says. But I spent time in the Word with revelations and studying and getting to know God and His character, sometimes 16 and 17 hours a day for years, because I wanted to know God. Because I came out of a cult. I came out of a false teaching. So therefore, I'm not going to let any man that walks and breathes on this earth, as long as the Holy Ghost is in me, deceive me. Because I'm going to know the word for myself. And one of the things that make me have such great ambition about the love of Jesus Christ, knowing he is, I promise you, the way, the truth, and the only life. He is it. It ain't several ways. It ain't several ministries. It ain't several gospels. It's only one gospel, and it's only one God, the Bible says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Yes, we have the Father, Abba, Daddy. We have the Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And we have the mighty Holy Spirit that has come to be our comforter and indwell inside of us. These three are one. These three are one. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let nobody dissect the Word of God for you and make you believe that it has an application for your life. You are to learn what does it mean for you, and how do you apply it to you? How can I get victory in it, in the Word of God? Because heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to last forever. And so my question to you out there tonight is, how many of you believe and know that you are saved, and that you once saved, always saved? Now, there's a big dispute about that in the thing. But there's also a great scripture that says, whatsoever a man believes, what he's going to get. So if you don't believe you're going to be saved forever, I would ask you to get in the Word tonight and make your calling, 1 John, an election sure. If you don't really believe that you're saved forever, I want you to take time to understand. If you don't believe that, I want you to hear me good now. I'm fixing to name off some things. Ephesians chapter 1 is where I'm going to go to right this minute. I want to give you word, book, and chapter. Ephesians chapter 1 is I've taught this every year since I've been teaching on this radio. But listen to this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. That's why I told you last week, I am a saint. I'm not ashamed to be called a saint. To the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Of course, this letter was to the saints at Ephesus. But what makes a saint? I know all of y'all's hands went up to try and tell me. At the end of this program, if we have time, I would appreciate somebody calling and tell me what makes a saint. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you what makes a saint. The indwelling Holy Spirit inside of you, knowing without any doubt, without anybody else's say-so, that you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from our God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now we're getting ready to get real serious, you guys. With every, not did it say some, y'all? Did somebody say some? Did somebody say a few? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I want you to tell me, and this here, I can back it up all the way. Having predestinated us to the adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. How do we have redemption, people? Through his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, you are damned. You are lost. The blood. Oh, my God, I tell you. Okay. For in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness. Now, when are you going to be forgiven, you guys? Not 30 years from now, not after you die, you got the forgiveness of sin. And that's why I asked the question, how many believe once saved, always saved? Because then you're going to have to go through your Bible and cut out a whole bunch of stuff. And I want to see how much Bible you have left. Figure out that you have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to us, abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in dispensations of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. I keep telling you, forever as long as I live on this radio station and in life, I'll continue to tell you. In Christ, capital I-N, capital C-H-R-I-S-T, is the most two powerful words and the most powerful thing that can happen to any individual human being. In Christ, not in your flesh, not in your book knowledge, not in your pedigree, not in your mama's backyard, not in your daddy's this or that, or in your money, but in Christ, in Christ. Oh, my God, oh, my God. Ephesians, if you don't want to study nothing but Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians, I would take you, eat it like it's like you ain't never ate before. Search the scriptures. Don't just read them. Search them. See what that means to you. You want the, my desire, brothers and sisters and saints all over the world, is to make you know how to apply the word where it has an effect, where you can grow thereby. I eat the word. I want to know. Yes, Sister Ruth, you got this, you got that, and you've overcome this and you've overcome that. But how do I get it? How do I get it? Show me. I want to know. I want to know. And that's why I sit at the feet of great teachers, too, because I don't know everything. And I'm steady trying to learn and learn how to apply. But I do know this, that ain't no devil in hell can undo what Jesus Christ has already done. It was finished. My deliverance of when he hung on that cross, my liberty, my health, my wealth, my prosperity, my victory, my joy, my long suffering, my overcoming was finished. The blood, when Jesus shed that blood, I know there are people who say that it wasn't totally finished, but I'm here to tell you, whatever a man believes, that's what he gonna receive. I believe and I know that all of that. Now, I haven't learned or I haven't succeeded in being able to apply all of those things. I haven't totally received all of those things in myself, but that doesn't mean that they ain't there. Don't let nobody tell you. Just because I don't see it, feel it, or know it, or show it, don't mean it ain't there. Just like I was healed, even before I seen the reality of my healing. I'm rich, prosperous, even though I might not have a penny in my bank. That don't change nothing, because Jesus Christ was rich, and he became poor that I might be rich. So whose report am I going to believe? Am I going to believe somebody who don't believe in prosperity? Am I going to let a negative person who tells you they don't believe in prosperity? Oh, no, we don't believe in greed. We don't believe in all money and no sacrifice. We don't believe in that. No, I don't believe in that. God himself don't agree with greed, because greed is evil. It's evil. It is evil. But God himself knows what beauty is. God himself knows what rich is. And God himself knows what health is. And that's why he poured out his blood on that cross and became the perfect sacrifice for us, because he loved us so much. And yet for us to walk around with our heads hung down and to walk around defeated and depressed, lonely, vexed, all kind of evil things, or even led spirits. But there's a time for all, for John 1:12 say, as many as received him, to them is who he gives power. See, we talk about the commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And these signs shall follow them that believe. But we've already received all of that, believe it or not. And I know people, I got a lot of people talking about, we want to see the dead raised. You have seen the dead raised. You was dead in your sins and trespasses, and you've been raised up to newness of life. Boy, we don't understand. We was blind, and now we can see. Give God the glory. Don't go negating what he's already done. We take so much for granted. You might not be able to run around the block because you've had a stroke or you've been sick or something. And I might not be able to go withdraw $50 million out of my account today in the natural, but in the spirit I can. Because God, our Father, our Daddy, our Elohim, our El Shaddai, owns all of it. It's all his. And what would I do with $50 million? Let us be frank. I want to be a blessing, to be a blessing, not to be a blessing just so I can buy my Rolls Royce and live in a 50-room house and wear the dress to the nines. I don't need all of that. I wouldn't even want to live in a 50-room house myself. And I wouldn't want to drive a Rolls Royce. I might want to ride in one, but I don't want to drive one. So, I mean, those things don't mean anything to me, because the joy, the love, the power that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given me, and the knowledge that I am his beloved, the knowledge that he loves me, and there ain't nothing you all can do about it, and that he loves you, and it ain't nothing I can do about it, because God so loved me that he gave his only self for me, and he paid the price on Calvary for me. That is the greatest thing that could happen to you. Oh, yes. So don't get discouraged. I was sick off and on for 40 years, just like the children in the wilderness wandered around 40 years. But it was worth every year, because I still would tell my friends, I'm here, no matter how I looked, no matter how I felt, I was here. And that's what faith is. The substance, you know, you got to believe, whether you see it, whether you feel it, whether you even hear it, you got to believe that God's word is greater than what your circumstances is. And don't let nobody talk you out of it with these fine little cliches and little, because you need to learn what people believe. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, and that he was buried, and that he rose the third day. I believe that when he hung on that cross, that he took all my guilt and stain, not only for the past, for the present, and for the future. That's what the word say in Hebrews chapter 3:4 says, the works was finished before the foundation of the world. And as you just now heard me read, Ephesians chapter 1 said that before the foundation of the world, God had chosen, predestinated, and called me to be in his kingdom. And so therefore, don't let people fool you. Don't let people discourage you. Be encouraged. Know this, that the Lord our God is greater than anything in earth, and that his word, pray his word, His words say he healeth all of our diseases. His words say that he was dead and he rose. His words say that he's seated at the right hand of the living God, making intercession for us. Believe God's word. And as I've taught you all from Ephesians chapter 1, learn it by heart. Quote it. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Colossians, Philippians. Study. Now, next week I'm going to go further because I want you to know. My thing is to encourage you to know who you are. Don't let people fool you, because we're living in some bad times now. The Bible says, though we, let me read it to you, because a lot of people don't believe the word of God. They believe, I'm reading from Galatians, right? I'm going to go over here to Galatians chapter. Some people don't believe. They come up, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before those whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It was by the hearing of faith. You ain't gonna receive no Spirit by no works of the law. You only can receive it by faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? No, sir. But I do advise you to look up works in Ephesians chapter 2. If I had stayed over there, I would have told you. Not by works of righteousness. To any man should boast. I can't boast that I know Christ and that Christ knows me because I'm so great or beautiful or anything. I can only say that I'm so grateful that Christ knows me. And I'm so thankful that he chose me. I ain't did nothing. I didn't do nothing to deserve Christ. He chose me. I didn't choose him. Yes, we think just because we surrendered, but the Bible say no man can come except the Father draw him. I was drawn. I was hungry. I was thirsty. We talk about Matthew. It said, blessed is he that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Don't let people fool you. We're living in some times now where all kind of deception's coming, and all kind of fine little cliches are going to be there. My time is almost up, but don't let them fool you. Believe in the finished works of Jesus Christ. Believe that you are saved and that you are born again. And if you don't know for sure if you're saved and you're born again, believe me, you don't need an altar. You don't need to go to nobody's altar. All you need to do with a pure heart is call on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ask him, Father, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. I know somebody's on the phone making noise now, and we just do ask you to mute your call, or those who want to call in now can call in. You got 1 minute to ask questions. But as far as me, I bid you good night in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the living God. God has been so good. His mercy endures forever. One thing.
Doing good. How are you doing, sir?
All right, this is who I'm speaking with.
This is Pastor Jay Lawson of Open Door Biker Church in Sulphur.
Well, you guys, go for it.
I'm sorry?
You're waiting on you on the radio. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I got a word for you today.
All right.
I'm actually on vacation with my family. I'm in the Ozark Mountains. I hope you can hear me okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, look, I don't know how much time I got, but I wanted to bring y'all a little bit of a word today. I want to start reading.
Go ahead and do it. All right.
I'm gonna go to 1 John, chapter 1, and I'm gonna start reading in verse 8. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, those are some important words, because there's a lot of people in the church that man, it's not all churches by all means, but there's a lot of people in the church that think that they're living their lives perfectly, and they think that they don't sin. They think that they're holier than thou. They think that they're doing so good. And you know, honestly and truthfully, there's a lot of so-called Christians in the world that is going to go straight to hell when that day comes, because they don't know what they're really seeking. They don't know what they need to be seeking. And God's word tells us right here in 1 John that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We all sin. Everybody falls short. Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody lives perfectly. There was only one person that was perfect. The Bible tells us that was Jesus. Amen. And it's not us. It was Jesus himself. He was the perfect one. But in chapter 2, it goes a little further than that. And that's what I kind of wanted to get to. I just wanted to start with that. What I really want to get to, though, is starting in verse 3 of chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "And hereby," which means in the following verses, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him, keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." You see, what I want to talk about that with is, we just went through Good Friday and Easter and all that. I don't call it Easter. Most everybody else does. I call it Resurrection Sunday, because that's what it's really about. There's a lot of people in the world that think that Easter is about a little bunny that runs hopping around and dropping eggs, and that's just not the case. The Easter is not about that at all. Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is something that we really need to teach our kids. We need to teach the young adults, because that the people that are bringing, that we're bringing up, the kids that we're bringing up, that's the future of the world. And we see in today's society, it's getting so bad, because the kids are running around just being completely disrespectful to people. The way that they live their lives, they're whoremongers, they're drunkards, they're the drug addicts. I mean, they're the people that's living a life that it reminds me of Gomorrah. I mean, you know, the world is going to that exact same Old Testament story. And it's going to be destroyed one day. And we need to get our kids on the right path. We need to teach our kids what God is all about and what Jesus has done for us. We need to teach our kids what the Word of God says. The only way that we're going to be able to teach them the right way is if we read the Bible ourselves. If we read God's Word, if we read God's Word with our children, if we teach them God's Word, and let them see the way that we are supposed to live, and the outcome of what a sinful life is going to bring. It is so important and so vital for our children. I don't know about the rest of y'all in the world, and I'm sure you feel the same way I do, but I don't want to see my kids burn in hell. I don't want to see my kids face that death. I want them to have the eternal life that I know that I'm going to have. And it's important for us to know that without a doubt. And the way that we're saved, the way we have salvation, is by faith in believing God's word, but it's also by by reading his word and learning his word, because we can't have the faith in God's word if we don't know it, right? We have to know God's word in order to have that faith. You see, there's 600, and most people think that there's only 10 commandments in the Bible. But if you'll look it up, those 10 commandments, there is those specific 10. But in actuality, there's 613 commandments in the Bible. And a commandment is anywhere in God's word where God's word is telling you to do something or not to do something. That's a commandment. It's not just the 10 commandments. There's 613 different things. And actually, some of the internet Bible trivia things says that there's over 1,000. I don't remember the exact number, but you know it's biblical. I'm not making up something, but I mean I know that if you'll look it up, Google it. That's a wonderful thing. Google can teach you a lot, but just go back and check it. Don't take Google's word for it, please. Go back and check it out and read it for yourself. But there's a lot of commandments in the Bible that we're supposed to follow, and God knew that we couldn't do it, and that's the reason why that they call Good Friday Good Friday. You know, it's such a dark, painful day. It's such a horrible day of the things that Jesus went through, and they call it Good Friday. Why do they call it Good Friday? They call it Good Friday because Jesus died for us. He took the death that we deserved. He took all of our sins upon his shoulders, and he went to the cross and took all of those things with him so that we could have eternal life, so that we didn't have to suffer the condemnation that we so deserve. Jesus is our answer. That is our true way of life. The Bible says that Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the only way. That's why it's Good Friday. Even though it was a terrible thing that he went through, and when I start talking about what Jesus went through, that's what I've been talking about at church the past few weeks leading up to Resurrection Sunday. One Sunday I talked about the things that Jesus actually physically went through leading up to the cross. And the next week I talked to the congregation about what it represented and why he did it, why he did what he did. And it's important for us to know that. The reason why he did what he did is because we can't, because he lived a perfect life and we can't do that. But if you look at that, and like I was saying about all the different commandments, 613 commandments, if you look at that, can we really do that as us in the flesh and humans? You know, can we do those commandments? Can we follow what God's law says for us to do? We had to know the Old Testament. We have to know all his commandments and all of his instructions for us to live our lives. We have to know all of that simply so that we can know just how lost we are, just how much we deserve the death that Jesus took upon his shoulders. We have to know all of that just so that we can appreciate what God has done for us. We needed to know all those things so that we will be able to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's important that we realize that, and that we see what it comes. See, Jesus, whenever he was raised from the dead, he claimed victory for us over sin and over death. In order for the good news of the gospel to have meaning for us, we first have to understand the bad news of our sinful nature. We have to know about the death that we deserve. We need we need to know God's law first, in order to show us how hopeless our condition is. Jesus endured the cross for us, knowing, and this is what I love so much, Jesus endured the cross for us on purpose, completely and totally, because he loved us and because he knew that was the price that had to be paid for sin, and he knew that he didn't want us to pay that. He loves us. And he wants us to have eternal life. He endured everything that he endured because of the fact that he knew the promise that God had for us. He knew what led led up to his resurrection and our salvation. He knew that everything that he was going through must have been done. It must have been endured in order for us to have that eternal life. God has so much for us. He loves us so much. I tell people in my congregation all the time, it's real simple. I'll give you a good example. If I make a promise to you in your radio station, and I tell you, look, brother, I love your radio station. Every Friday, I'm gonna send you $100 donation. Every Friday, I'm gonna make sure you get $100 donation. I can make that promise to you, and I can fulfill that promise if you accept it. But if you turn around and tell me, no, Jay, I don't want your money. You keep your money. I don't want nothing to do with your money. I don't want it. Then I can't give you that donation. I can't fulfill that promise because you won't allow me to. And God's word is just like that. God's word has all these promises for us of all kinds of good things. Nothing bad comes from God. Everything in life that is good comes from God. And he's made that promise to us to fulfill everything. God's word says that none of his word, none of his promises will come back void, that all of them are going to stand good. Every promise that he's made, we're going to receive, but we have to receive it. See, if we turn our backs on God and we say, no, God, I don't want that promise. I don't want those promises. You keep that. I'm going to live my life how I want to. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us. He's going to allow us to accept his promises. He's going to allow us to accept his blessings, but he's not going to make us take them. We have to accept them. And so you see, us reading the promises, reading God's word, and knowing what God's word means to us, knowing what God has for us, if we know all of that and we accept all of that, then we'll get all those promises. You know, it's like I said when I first started this, my whole ministry is based off of serving people. Jesus, he came here to be a servant, not to be served. He came here to serve. And that's what we should do. That's the way we should live our lives. We should serve our brothers and our sisters. We should look out for them, and we should. And in so doing, in doing that, the best way we can do that is to make sure that not only our fellow brothers and sisters, but our kids, like I was saying earlier, we need to teach them the word of God. We need to give every opportunity possible that message out to people. We you know. I was telling people at church, you know, some people, they say, you know, well, Pastor, I know that I should be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, but I don't know how. I don't know how to start that conversation. I don't know how to do it. And it's really simple. And I'm going to give y'all an idea of how to do it. Everybody, pretty much everybody in the world today has a smartphone. Everybody's got these smartphones. If you're a Christian, you probably already have a Bible app on your phone, on your device, on your tablet, or on your computer, whatever. And all you have to do is take your phone or take your tablet, whatever you have, and go sit down in the midst of some people. Get you a place where there's a few people around you. Sit right in the middle of them and pull your Bible app out and start reading it and start talking to your Bible. Man, that promise is for me. Man, what God is saying right here, that's for me. And I promise you, people in today's society, people are nosy. People are just naturally nosy. And they're going to reach their head over your shoulder. They're going to look over your shoulder, and they're going to try to see what you're reading. And they're going to ask you, hey, what are you talking about there? What is it that you're reading? And that's a perfect opportunity. All you got to turn around and smile real big and say, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what I'm reading. Let me tell you what God's word says about you and I. And start sharing God's gospel. Let's start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and let people know what it is that God's word says and what it means. And it, like the Bible verse said that I was reading, you know, we have to know his word. We have to know what his word says in order for us to say that we are of Jesus and that Jesus is in us. We have to keep his commandments the best that we can. But a lot of people, you know, they put themselves down because they mess up or because they fail, and they beat themselves up because they can't get it right. But it's okay. The important thing to know is that we are forgiven. The important thing to know is that his grace is sufficient for us. That thorn in our side, that thing that we're carrying over our head. You know, as I was reading that passage about Paul, and he was talking about the thorn that was in his side, he asked God to remove it three times, and he said that my grace is sufficient for you. And I think, I'm not sure, but I really think, this is not biblical, this is an educated guess, I really think that thorn that was in Paul's side was the fact that he knew the life that he lived. He knew that he persecuted Christians. He knew that anybody who proclaimed the name of Jesus, that he ran them out of town, or he put them in prison, or he beat them up, or he stoned them, whatever it was that he did. You know, he was persecuting Christians. And I really believe that at that point in Paul's life, when he was following Christ and he was trying to write the letters and lead people to Christ and make sure that they knew, you know, the right way that they were supposed to be living, And I believe that was in his head. I believe that he was doing the same thing that a lot of us Christians do these days. We hang on to stuff that's in our past, and we don't want to let it go. We keep thinking about the things that we've done, and we beat ourselves up about it. Oh, man, I know that I'm trying to be a Christian, but I've sinned so much against God. I've done so much wrong to so many people, and I don't know if God will forgive me for it. I'm such a wretched person, and I'm trying to live right, but I don't know if it's enough. I don't know if God's going to forgive me. Well, stop thinking that away. Stop thinking that away. God will forgive you. It doesn't matter what your past is. I shared with y'all last week a little bit about my past, and I'm not going to go back into it again, but the short note side of it is drugs, alcohol, prison, all that mess. And I know, without a doubt, I don't hang that over my head anymore. I don't hang on to that anymore. I used to. I used to beat myself up about it, but I don't do that anymore because I know that I am forgiven. You have to know that you know that you know. You have to know that you're forgiven. God has forgiven you, and this is what will turn it around for you. Stop and think about it. There's two really bad things that come with hanging on to guilt, with hanging on to your past, or hanging on to something something that somebody else done. You know, a lot of people have a hard time forgiving somebody else for something that they've done. So there's two really bad things about that. Besides the fact that the Bible says that you must forgive in order to be forgiven. Besides that fact, there's two more really bad points that comes down on you when you hang on to guilt or when you hang on to not forgiving somebody. And those two things are this. Number one, ask yourself this. Are you above God? Are you better than God? Do you place yourself on a pedestal above the living God? Most people's answer is going to be no. But think about that. If you're hanging on to guilt, if you're hanging on to something you've done in your past, or if you're hanging on to something that somebody else done and you refuse to forgive them for it, no matter what it is, then you're putting yourself above God. Because if God has forgiven us and has forgotten those sins as far as the east is from the west, that he will remember them no more, if God has made that promise to us, then who are we to hang on to that guilt or that unforgiveness? Who are we to do that? If God himself has given us forgiveness, who are we to hang on to it? Think about that. Don't put yourself above God. If you've got something in your life that you're hanging on to, let it go. If you got somebody in your life that you're holding a grudge against, or somebody that you don't want to forgive, and look, I'm going to step on some toes right here, and I know I am. I get it. But it's true. It don't matter. There's a lot of people that's been sexually molested in their lives. There's a lot of people that's had somebody that's been murdered, that somebody has murdered somebody in your family. And there's a lot of people that's had some really sentimental personal things stolen from them or taken from them. There's all kinds of bad that a lot of people think, man, I'll never forgive that person for doing this. I will never forgive that person for doing this. And think about this now. If they change their lives And if they truly, honestly repent of their ways and they turn away from their ways, if they believe in Jesus Christ and they have changed their lives, then that means that God has forgiven them for their sins. So who are you to hang on to it? Who are you not to do the same thing for? And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to go one step further. And this makes a lot of people mad when I say this, but it's true is true. If it's you, you're hanging on to something for yourself. You're hanging on to the fact that you committed adultery on somebody, or that you committed a sex crime on somebody, or you're feeling guilty and putting yourself through all that. Listen, you got to let that go too. Don't let that hang over your head. If God forgives you, then you are not above God. If God forgives you, then you need to forgive yourself and you need to move forward. You need to move on. You got to repent. You have to confess your sins and repent, and God will forgive you. And I know that's hard to swallow. Oh, man, I know that's hard to swallow. A lot of people get mad at me when I talk about that, but it's truth. It's the real truth. But look, I'm going to go a step further than that. If you're hanging on to guilt, or if you're hanging on to unforgiveness or whatever the case may be, if you're hanging on to something that you've done in your life and you don't want to let it go and you're putting that guilt trip on yourself, let me ask you this. Is the blood of Jesus, the blood that he shed, is that not good enough for you? Jesus carried your sins on his shoulders. Everybody, every sin that you've ever done, every sin that's ever been committed in this world, every sin that you will ever commit in the future, every sin that you're holding yourself right now, Jesus carried those sins on his shoulders whenever he was crucified. He bled his blood for our sins. So is his blood not good enough for you? Don't hang on to guilt. Don't hang on to shame. Don't put yourself through that. Jesus bled for you. And if his blood is not good enough for you, then you have a serious issue. Jesus Christ died for everybody, for every sin. It's his blood that was shed, and he loves you, and he wants you to forgive yourself. There's a message of hope in all of this, because you see, we want to change our lives, and we put ourselves through this thing thinking that well, you know, I'm never going to change, or I'm always going to be the same, or God's not going to forgive me, or, you know, I've tried to quit drinking, I've tried to quit doing drugs, I've tried to do this, I've tried to do that, and I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. Well, that's your problem. Your worst enemy in the world is me, myself, and I. The worst thing in the world is trying to do it on your own. You have to surrender your life to God. And the way you surrender your life to God is really simple. Start thinking about heavenly things all the time. Start spending your mind wrapped around the heavenly treasures that you're putting in heaven, that you're putting up there in heaven, where nobody can take it away and nobody can steal it. No man can rob that. Put those treasures up there and keep your mind focused on that. And you don't have to worry about doing if you're thinking about heavenly things, brother, you're not going to be drinking. If you're thinking about Jesus all the time, whenever you start to get a drink and you think about Jesus, you're going to put it down. If you start to grab some drugs, if you're thinking about Jesus, you're not going to pick it up and do it. You're going to put it down. You got to keep your heart on heavenly things. You got to keep your soul on the things of heaven. You need to be around other Christians. A lot of people say, well, you don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. The Bible tells us to be in the company of other Christians. The Bible tells us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can you spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can you share that with other people if you're not around other people? You need to be in a church. You need to go to church services. You need to go. I go to church when I'm preaching on Sunday morning and on Thursday evening, and I go to church on Sunday evening whenever the assistant pastor is preaching, and we have church on Thursday night instead of Wednesday night. A lot of churches have church on Wednesday night, so I go to other churches. Occasionally, I don't do it all the time, but I go to other churches occasionally on Wednesday night, just so that I can get fed God's word from somebody besides myself and between me and God. You know, I'll go and listen to other pastors preach, and I get lessons, and it's a wonderful thing because another pastor will preach a sermon on the same verses that I might be preaching on, but he'll preach it a little bit in a different way, and I'll catch on to something else that I might have missed myself. And God has a way of revealing his word, not only through his word, but he'll reveal his word to you through other people. And he'll reveal his word to other people through you. Everybody has a testimony. Everybody has a very important testimony. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of life you've led. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter how good you've always been or how bad you've always been. Everybody has a wonderful testimony that is very important and very vital to somebody else. Think about this. There's other people in this world, you know, no matter what problem you might have, no matter what situation you might go through, I promise you it's not a situation or a problem that nobody else in the world has ever went through. Somebody in the world is going through the same thing that you've been through, and your testimony might be exactly what that person needs to help them get through that. Knowing how you handled it, or how you let God walk you through it, knowing how God led you through something will save somebody else's soul. And that's what we're supposed to do. The Word of God tells us all to go out and preach the gospel to the world.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Am I out of time?
Please.
I'm here. I'm muted, though.
Oh, okay. I thought I'm gonna I went over and ran out. It looks like I ran out of time, huh?
Dr. Hunter, are you there?
I'm there.
Tell him,
go ahead.
Pastor Jay, he said, go ahead. Somebody has their phone unmuted. Please mute your phones back and let Pastor Jake, finish. Thank you.
All right. Sorry about that. I'm up. I was saying earlier, I'm up on a mountain in the Ozark Mountains, so I thought I lost y'all. I'm sorry. But anyway, everybody has a testimony that somebody else needs to hear. And whatever life you've lived, especially if you went through a lot of trouble in your life. Like myself, just for an example, you know, I told y'all earlier, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, the prison, the fighting and the stealing, and all the things that I've done. Whenever I was going through that, I sure didn't want to hear somebody who's never been through it to tell me to stop or tell me how to quit or you know, you hear people that's never lived a life like that, and you hear them tell you, well, I don't know why you do that. You need to just quit. Well, it's not that simple. But whenever I heard it coming from somebody that was like me, when I heard it coming from somebody who's been through it and has been through all the things that I've done, the same things, and they told me about Jesus Christ and they told me about the love of God, then, man, that just rocked my world. That was exactly what I needed to hear, and I needed that message of hope because I thought I was lost. I thought that I had did so much that there was no way God was gonna help me with anything. There was no way that God was gonna forgive me. And I found out that I was putting myself above God when I was thinking that away. And that just blew my mind. I was like, wow, I never thought of it like that. But your testimony, no matter who you are, no matter what you've been through, your testimony is vital. Your testimony is so important to somebody. Somebody in this world needs to hear your testimony. This is this whole radio thing is really man. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's blowing my mind. Man, I just can't get over it. I really can't. Being able to be on the radio and it's the internet. So the internet's worldwide. There's no telling who might listen to this or who might hear it. So the Word of God through me, God is working through me. The Word of God is reaching who knows where through me. And I just, that's a message right there in itself letting everyone that hears this message know that, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of unholy you've been in your life, God can use you. God wants to use you. God will use you. You are forgiven. Admit your sins. Confess your sins to God and let him forgive you. Don't think that you got to change your life and then go to God. I've heard that so many times, people saying, well, I'm still young. I want to continue partying for a little while or continue doing what I do, and I'll change, you know, when I get a little older or when I have kids, I'll slow down. You know, I don't want to change right now, or I don't think I can change right now at this point in my life. That's baloney. Yes, you can change. And it's not, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. That's what people don't understand. Look at the world today. Look at these people that are going into schools and shooting them up and killing other students. Do you think they woke up this morning thinking, hey, this afternoon I'm going to go get shot and I'm going to die, so I better go ahead and get right with God? No, they had no clue. Their family had no clue. If their family knew that, and I mean, things would be different. People would live differently. If they knew exactly when they was going to die, the world would be different, and it probably would not be different in a good way, but it would be different. But we don't know that. Look at all the car accidents and stuff on the highways where people are getting killed. They didn't wake up this morning thinking that they was going to go down the highway and get ran over or get hit by somebody and die. They had no clue. And look at them. If they haven't gotten their lives right with God, too late. It's never too late. As long as you're breathing, as long as you have a breath in your body, it's not too late. That is true. But how many of you know when your last breath is going to be? How many of you know exactly when you're going to die and exactly when you need to give your life to God? Don't try to wait till later on in life or whatever, because you may not live that long. I'm going to tell y'all something that happened, and this is a really weird thing that happened, but we had a church member that a friend of his, him and his wife, they went way up north somewhere. They were deer hunting. They were hunting deer. They were sitting in a blind in the middle of a forest, and who knows how far away from anything. They was in the middle of nowhere, and they were sitting in this hunting blind, and his wife started getting tired, so she kicked her chair back and laid her head against the side of the deer blind and was fixing to doze off and go to sleep or whatever, and a bolt of lightning, I guess a thunderstorm came over, whatever. A bolt of lightning hit the deer blind and burned her real bad. And I mean, who would have thought that something like that would happen in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the day? I mean, they was enjoying themselves. Nobody knows when the last day comes. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. Don't let nobody try to tell you that it's going to be in such and such a year and such and such month. Nobody knows. The Bible says it very clearly. He's going to come like a thief in the night, and nobody's going to know but the Father. And nobody knows. You don't know when your last day is. Get your life right with God. Don't put it off. Don't wait. But more importantly, share that with other people. Share that message. Share that story. Share that message of hope with somebody that's lost. If you know somebody that's living a life of sin, take the time to sit down and talk to them about it. Because look, you never know. We don't know when our last breath is going to be, and it's so important for us to know God's word, to follow God's word, and know what it says. In 1 John, back in chapter 2. Verse 5, it says, but whosoever keepeth his word, and his word tells us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. His word tells us to go and preach to all the nations. His word tells us to go and tell everybody about God's word. We're supposed to do that. So if we're going to follow God's word, then we all have to get out there and do our part in letting other people know what God can do for you and how he'll do it. Man, I can't stress it enough. It is so important. But listen, all the temptations and all the sins that we commit, all the temptations that comes at us, they all fall under three little categories. And the Bible tells us about it right there in the same chapter in verses 15 and 16. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, if any man love the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. And this is where every temptation that we encounter, everything that comes our way, it all falls under here. It's in verse 16. It says, "For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That right there, just that explains all the sins that we're going to encounter. We have got to get that. We've got to know that. We've got to understand that. We've got to know that God's word is true. And whenever those things are coming at us, we have to realize that those things are of the world, and that is not of the Father. If we're following those things that are of the world, then that's going to get us in trouble. There's so many, like I said at the beginning, there's so many Christians in the world let me rephrase that. There's so many people in the world that claim to be a Christian that are going to fail. They're going to fall. You know, the Word of God says that we have to know. We have to know His Word. I can't stress that enough. Praise God. He is so good, and there's so much that He wants to do for us. He loves us so much. And all we have to do is have faith. What is faith? Believing. All we have to do is believe in God's word. Believe in Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in Jesus. He says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All we have to do is believe in the Son. We have to believe in the resurrection. We have to believe that He died for our sins. We have to believe that He was raised up 3 days later, and that He sits at the right hand of God. God, oh my God, I wish everybody could get this, and I wish everybody could see this. It is so wonderful what God will do for you. Don't put yourself above God. Forgive other people. Let them make it. Let them go. Let all that stuff, that animosity, the hatred, the anger, whatever it is that you've got in your heart that you're not forgiving somebody for, let that go. Whatever it is in your life that you're hanging on to, whatever things that you've been through in your life in the past or whatever it is, let that go. You're not above God, and the blood of Jesus is good enough for you no matter who you are. You are saved. You are sanctified. You are justified. Oh, my goodness. Amen. You are, you're saved. Salvation is in the Son. See that. I love y'all, and I love every one of y'all, and I hope that y'all understand what I'm trying to tell you, and I hope that my message has some words in there for you. Are y'all still there?
Yeah, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise God.
Good.
What a word. Every now and then we need a threshing. Amen. Well, tonight I want to thank everyone of y'all. Anybody else got something want to say while we're on the radio?
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. As always, I'm glad to hear. I hear a reverb. Does somebody else want to talk first? Okay. Well, first of all, you know, God will always send a witness in regards to things that are being said. One thing I want to say to you, Pastor Jay, we've both been taught the same thing, but when I hear different things on the word, because you got to be a student of the word. If you're going to live this life, you have got to be a student of the word. That does not pick your pick your Bible up on Sunday and it sits on the shelf to the next Sunday. If you're going to have an intimate, personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you must study His Word, not to show yourself approved unto man, but approved unto Him. And I'm amazed to hear you speak about 613, because when I was in school, they told me 610.
So naturally, I'm going to research that, and I know you said it's not definite, but it's the point that we have at our hands and disposal right now this worldwide internet, and we can search many sources, not just one, but many sources to confer with what we've read. I tell everybody the Bible has the good, the bad, and the ugly. Tells us, like Pastor Jay was saying, what our promise would have been had it not been for Jesus Christ. And I thank God that I don't live in the Old Testament, because if I lived in the Old Testament, I wouldn't have a chance for forgiveness. I wouldn't have a chance for knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Even God, you know, he would raise up nations to bring his people under subjection. And then they would see the love of God and thank him and then turn right back around and give him the backside and go right back where he already delivered them from. We don't have to be delivered over and over and over again. We've got Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed is enough for all of us. And as far as for forgiving, you have to forgive whether that person forgives you or not, whether that person repents or not, or has a change of heart or whatever. You've got to forgive them regardless, you know. And it is wonderful. It is a testimony of itself. If somebody gets saved and come back to the person that they're wronged and say, look, when I was out there and I didn't know Christ as my personal Savior, I wronged you, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And it's up to you to say, I forgive you. I've forgiven you when it happened, when it first happened. But now, am I saying that's an easy thing to do? Not all the time. My daughter was just shot by her ex-husband. It took me a minute. It happened December the 3rd. This is April the 1st, you know. But I'm telling you, listening to Pastor Jay, and I didn't have the animosity, but I don't know, truthfully, if I had forgiven him. But I know that I have to forgive him, you know, and he's got to, you know, he's got to forgive himself and then have enough decency since he's saved, quote unquote, that he's saved and he knows the Lord. He needs to, from shooting my daughter, threatening to shoot his daughter, his kids, and everything. I don't know what happened to him, where his mind flipped, but the devil had him and had him going real good. But I thank God that the blood of Jesus was enough to reach far enough that it saved my daughter and my grandchildren. Nobody could have done that but the Lord. Nobody. Because she was holding the gun barrel in her hand trying to keep him from shooting the kid. Nobody could have gave her the strength to go up against a man with a gun. But she has to forgive him. I have to forgive him. The rest of my family has to forgive. Everybody got to forgive him. Everybody. If we are a believer, we have to forgive. And the only way we're going to get that strength is to fellowship with like believers. Because if we fellowship with people that do not know God, they're going to tell you the wrong stuff. They're going to get in your ear the wrong way. They're going to say, girl, I wouldn't take that. You know, we need to ride on them. So it's good to hear Pastor Jay talk about fellowship. You know, and we all know that it's not in the four walls, but I use it as a charge. We need to go, our battery gets depleted. You know, during a week, during a couple of days, you know, you don't know how you got to minister to someone. And sometimes it drains you to minister. And so you have to get charged back up. You get charged back up by getting in the Word. You get charged back up by fellowshipping. And you listen to other people. God can use anybody to bring you a message. And you just have to have the open heart and mind to receive it and not reject it and not look at who it is coming from. You know, we have our respective preachers. You know, well, I like to hear this one, and I don't like to hear that one, and whatever. But that's not how the Word of God is spoken of to any of us. I tell Dr. Hunter all the time, he's an encourager. The Lord just lets him know when to call and say, I love you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he doesn't know. Well, I know he knows because I tell him all the time. But, I mean, he just doesn't know that it comes at a time when sometimes I'm at my all-time low. But God will put somebody in your life that's what you need at the time that you need it. He's an on-time God. He's never late, and he stands by his word. He's not a man like us that he will lie. And he said his word shall not return void. If I said it, it's going to come to pass. And this is, can you ask? So how many believe that? How many have Jesus on the inside that he's so real, you know, that you will believe that his power is enough for everything, and that we don't put ourselves above God. We make ourselves subject to God and subject to Jesus Christ and subject to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit going to let you know before you do it. So you got a chance to not do what you shouldn't do if you listen to the Word. He gonna send somebody. But most of the time it is, too. It's because there is good and evil, you're going to get both sides of the script. But if you don't have the Word of God in you, you'll be deceived by who's bringing you the right message. And most of the time, the wrong message will have some of the truth in it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. It'll be half, but a half truth is a half lie. It's like a half lie for half truth. So, but anyway, that's all I have to say. Thank you, Pastor Jay. I really enjoyed that. Immense. I'm going to mute mine.
I want to say one thing